Welcome from Western Montana. You're listening to Perception Management. I'm your host, Keith Rogers, here. And we're going to be taking you down the memory lane here again today. So I hope you going to pop some screens out of here so I can get one browser up and another to where I need it. So anyway, first I want to start off with one thing. Yeah, as a special show note, oh, by the way, this is September 15, 2019, in case anyone wants to note the time there or date. Watching the world right now, I see as a special show note here that Secretary Pompeo, who's bragged about that while being under the employ of the CIA, said that he lied, cheated, and stole. He's an alleged Christian. He's out there on Twitter lying about Iran right now. This has to do with the bombing Saudi Arabia's oil processing plant that will be cutting 5 million barrels of oil a day. And, of course, Trump says America's gas station's open for business. But when it comes to Pompeo, God is sure to have a sense of humor, I'll tell you. You know, he once made a donkey talk, and there's nothing really surprising here to see yet another talking jackass doing the same thing. Anyway, I'd like to start the show off today with a true fact of some history here that happened in 2011. And you might take note about how this transpires. Then I'll take you down another highway here that goes back even further. But as it's important to understand the history to see where we are at today. First of all, do you remember after the Japanese earthquake in 2011 that there was this... You know, the big earthquake about 9.2, some say it's 9.1, but anyway, it hit off the shores of Honshu, Japan there, which caused a massive set of tidal waves known as a tsunami, and that killed over a bit over 15,000 people or so. Also, the damage of the nuclear plants there, and where today, because of that meltdown, they are pumping God knows how many thousands of gallons of radioactive water directly into the Pacific Ocean. Anyway, when that happened there, my email box, and even on social media at the time, was filled up with comments about that disaster over there. Some were really feeling sorry for what was going on in Japan. And then there was those that were talking about them Jap bastards, the ones that we missed in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, referencing to the two atomic bombs that were dropped by the United States. One such comment also came from a good friend whose grandfather was killed on the USS Arizona there in Pearl Harbor. So I thought I'd like to take you down memory lane tonight, let you see how this all started in the first place. I'm one for history, and I don't know if you would, I get tired of people lying to others, especially when you realize those lies lead to someone's death. And in that case, another war that cost millions of lives. And it's no different than, you know, a lot of people don't want to look at this stuff, but there's videos that you can look in the archives of the war crimes of NATO and the United States in Afghanistan, those over in Vietnam, where the napalming, the people with their skin hanging off their body and stuff. And again, remember, Vietnam was started over a lie, too. But anyway, in 1938, Roosevelt failed to secure a revision in the Neutrality Act. And it was not until Germany invaded Poland in 1939, setting off World War II, that Congress revised that act. Even then, Roosevelt had to disguise his actions by claiming that his arms embargo actually endangered the actions by claiming that the arms endangered actually the peace of the United States. He also offered to bar American ships from designated war zones. He was thus able to persuade Congress to place the arms on the same cash and carry basis as the other commodities. He then went on to a greater aid measures such as the destroyer deal and the Lend-Lease program. The Lend-Lease program, as you know, was devised by Roosevelt as a means to aid Great Britain there in its war efforts against Germany in another war that was started over a lie. So, now if you're a sap to believe all this, I suggest that you do your own research into war crimes trials of, say, IG Farben and Standard Oil. Then there's the Prescott Bush laundering of the money for the Nazis, and the list goes on. Then it was all back then basically because the Germans then needed the lead in their gasoline that was part of this anti-Nox stuff for the petroleum there and other oil products, and it was given to Germany through many, many different contracts. And the more you dig into IG Farben, you realize how dirty this was, as well as the direct financing of U.S. banks, as well as some help from Britain to fund the massive buildup that Germany was starting there. While Roosevelt had turned from the sanctions towards measures of positive aid to Europe, in Asia, his administration moved towards a more pointed use of embargoes against Japan, which Japan at that time relied heavily upon American oil and metals to supply its war effort in China. And we always hear about this term of containment. So any threat to stop these exports would have significant impact on Japanese plans. The swing of public opinion and the revision of the Neutrality Act in 1939 allowed Roosevelt to take some additional actions on behalf of China. So in May of 1939, the United States notified Japan that it was withdrawing from the 1911 Treaty of Commerce. That's all we ever hear about, is the United States withdrawing from treaties. So according to the terms of the treaty, in 6 months, the United States would be free to limit or terminate exports to Japan. Roosevelt hoped this would give the Japanese pause, and their actions over in China, of course. But Japan had continued its war on China, and the U.S. government hesitated to implement sanctions for fear that they would drive Japan to replace the embargoed items by invading news resources in different areas. And this would most likely be Southeast Asia. This is where we see a lot of the French and British and Dutch colonies were, all through Indonesia and such. And of course, this is exactly what these sanctions caused, is that Japan, an island, a volcanic island, needed those resources. So in July 1940, a cabinet change in Japan signaled a more aggressive Japanese policy in Southeast Asia. And with that, the United States imposed an embargo on aviation gasoline and a high-grade scrap iron to Japan. And this embargo affected only a fraction of exports to Japan, and the U.S. government went on to some lengths to justify the embargo on the grounds of America's domestic needs rather than displeasure with Japan. And if you remember the old videos that they used to have, it showed Americans that were turning in metal, tires, stuff like that, you know. Well, this is what was going on here. It was the need of the war effort here. I don't know why my darn screen here does not want to move down where I want it to. But anyway, but this is what we see here is that there was a direct means here to provoke Japan. So anyway, you can look at all the CIA's covert wars and explain to me how different Japan's actions are at that period of time to everything they've been doing for that of the United States, which just after, as I mentioned last week, with the Papua New Guinea, the nearly a million killed in Indonesia, and the list goes on. All down through Central America, Latin America. And these are wars that are done in your name. Anyway, instead of backing down, though, Japan had accelerated search for more secure sources of vital raw materials. It extorted concessions from the Dutch East Indies. It coerced this Vichy France into allowing Japanese occupation of the northern Indochina and began negotiations for alliance with Germany and Italy. And there's even those movies like Father Goose and stuff. You know, these are all shows based on the Japanese and the territorial expansion. Cary Grant being a reluctant radio operator there to check the naval and aerial progress of the Japanese. Anyway, so I read last week how General MacArthur and his, on the show here, how he had his survey geologists that were there, in effect, mapping these strategic materials right after the war there. So, and this all came again from these Dutch islands there, which then started to declare their independence. And whenever anyone declares independence, they are immediately attacked because they do not like these colonies broken up. And if the French couldn't do it, or whatever, the Dutch, then the United States does it because they're the power dog. So anyway, the United States had responded with a complete embargo on scrap iron, but then it was followed the very next day by a formal announcement of the Axis Pact. The United States then continued to expand its embargo, extending it onto tools, iron, steel, copper, bronze, and many other critical metals. Remember, as I said, Japan is an island. It's just a bunch of volcanic islands. There's not much there to mine, really. So when the United States intercepted Japanese messages detailing plans for further expansion into Southeast Asia, and reports arrived that the Japanese transports were moving on Southeast Indochina, Roosevelt decided in a last-ditch gamble to stop Japan's expansion. Now, this is where it comes important there, because there was an article in the New York Times a while back where Captain Eric Nave, he was a famous Aussie codebreaker, and this is where he had broken the Imperial Japanese Code by the mid-1939. So, the U.S. was monitoring everything, so shared communications through Australia and Britain, just as England, who had already broken the German Enigma Code, and was freely monitoring everything in Germany. So, as Roosevelt was issued this freezing all these assets in, you know, in the United States, you know, clamping down on banking just like they're doing with Iran. This is what's important to realize today. Only a special license from the U.S. government could release Japanese assets to pay for American exports, including mostly critically oil. When the British and Dutch joined the oil embargo, it cut off the vital Southeast and Asian sources of raw material as well. And with only a 2-year supply of petroleum, Japan either had to give up in the war on China or secure its own sources of supply. Japan first tried the diplomacy, but negotiations with the United States had failed, and Japan declared war. During World War II, the United States used the 1917 Trading with the Enemies Act to impose a complete embargo on the Axis powers. I don't know why I didn't get that over here. There it is. Okay. So now we see there's a war that's actually been declared here. So this is where history gets great because for the fact that both China and the Soviet Union then were allies of the United States and communists. We always hear the news when they talk about China, communist China. They always throw that communist thing in there, communist, you know. And when all growing up, it was all that communist Soviet Union, like, you know, they were all allies before, you know. Anyway, so this would lead to December 7th of 1941. And this is when as I mentioned, the Imperial Code broken. And now knowing that the plans of the Japanese, the U.S. withdrew its four flat top carriers and moved them over to the Midway Islands. And then, of course, news articles would circulate that Japan might attack this weekend. You may have seen those. And also why for a lazy weekend on a U.S. naval outpost as Hawaii, which wasn't legally a state until 1959, nor Alaska. Alaska, of course, was bought on March 30th, 1867, and the United States reached a deal there to purchase Alaska from Russia for a price of $7.2 million. And that was also admitted into statehood in 1959 also. Hawaii was illegally annexed. Then we hear about them talking about Crimea and stuff, you know. Now, with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, oddly seems to have all the video cameras positioned all over that naval base. And this is what's so important about that. If you go back and find a video, or there's several videos of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, I'm not talking about one of these stupid modern ones. I'm talking about the actual historical videos. These videos are cameras from all over that base recording the planes coming in, the different ships being hit. I believe it was a Sunday also. Japan's attack was on a Sunday, December 7th, 1941. But it was a weekend. And that's why the headline paper says Japan may attack over this weekend. So why would all these cameras and stuff be there all over this naval base? Well, that reminds me of other events, but it's like a promo show because of all this. It would be these images and stuff would be sent home for Roosevelt to, you know, for his dear Day of Infamy speech. And if you want to draw some lines, you can do that with the Project for a New America Century and their quest for a new Pearl Harbor. This type of event would be launched, you know, used to launch the wars in the Middle East, which was supplied on 9/11. The way I look at it, hell, if allowing nearly 3,000 naval personnel then to die in Hawaii, why not another 3,000 on 9/11, right? Anyway, while researching that movie, The Fog of War, which is Robert S. McNamara's commentary about his involvement in and among things, World War II and the Vietnam War. People were shocked to hear him say, I gotta scroll my page down here a second. People were shocked to hear him say that before dropping of the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, and under the command then of General Curtis LeMay, this is what's important. The United States B-29 planes firebombed using napalm and jellied gasoline 67 Japanese cities. So what's so interesting about that? Well, McNamara's comments goes on to say on this bombing, LeMay said that if we'd lost the war, we'd all have been prosecuted as war criminals. And I think he's right, said McNamara. He, and I say I, were both behaving as war criminals. LeMay recognized that what he was doing would be thought immoral if his side had lost. But what makes it immoral is if you lose, and not immoral if you win. Anyway, Phone lines are open. We'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand.
Paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Keith Rogers. You're listening to Perception Management here on RBN. As I was leaving off here before, and again, the phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443, that LeMay had recognized that what he was doing would be thought immoral if his side had lost. But what makes it more immoral is if you lose, and it's not immoral if you win. And to tie in McNamara with this, on YouTube, there's a great video there. It's called McNamara's Morons, in which during Vietnam, and I've talked about Ho Chi Minh, about declaring independence for the country of Vietnam, and that wasn't allowed, and Vietnam was destroyed. But anyway, McNamara had, through the Selective Service and drafted over 100,000 low IQ'd boys from the hills of Tennessee and such. And this may have been to perhaps replace the 100,000 U.S. boys that had fled to Canada, which would additionally be joined by another 26,000 American boys who were stationed in Vietnam but got rotated back to the United States, and then they fled. There's a good harrowing story of one of the boys here talking about Vietnam, about why he left and the war crimes that he was committing as to the reason of why he left. But anyway, while McNamara talks about the firebomb in the movie, there's a very fast sequence of frames. The bomb Japanese cities are named, and it's got a comparison of the size of the Japanese city to a U.S. equivalent, plus a percentage of the Japanese city that was destroyed. To get all this information, I have a long list of the cities and stuff I can post later, but some had a kill ratio of 99%, much also like the firebombings of Dresden and the other 50-some total cities in Germany. In Germany, most of those were listed were 74%, and you can go to Google it and look at that. 74% of all the civilians in those 50-some cities of Germany they're all civilians, they were killed. And this is why it's so important to realize that about war crimes, and when you hear someone talk about, oh, Assad's gassing his people, or he's dropping barrel bombs. I mean, after the destruction this country has done in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the U.S. pulling out of the ICC criminal courts and stuff, I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, I got two callers online here. I got Richard in Alabama. Good evening, Richard. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, fairly well. I heard you talking about World War II, and I want to remind the audience of something that was always overlooked about Pearl Harbor. It was just a day later, the Japanese attacked a fleet of 34 B-17s parked on the runway at Clark Field in the Philippines, destroyed them all. And General MacArthur was photographed standing on the runway at Clark with all those burnt-out hulks of B-17s. A lot of expensive airplanes destroyed. There was one B-17 in China, painted up in Chinese colors. And they were training Chinese air crews to fly those B-17s. And I kind of think the Japanese understood what those B-17s were intended to do. Well,
China was also making bombing runs into Japan on those same runs with LeMay there.
But I mean before Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, see... Chiang Kai-shek had been promised those B-17s to bomb Japan. And, of course, Roosevelt was an insincere man. He made promises, and then he withdrew and broke his promises and all kinds of stuff. And I think Roosevelt wanted those airplanes destroyed because he wanted to break his promise with Chiang Kai-shek.
Well, Richard, there's two things to this. The U.S. was in a Great Depression, and the war is what was needed to bring them out. This is to industrialize the United States. And while Europe and Germany and such, Japan, were getting just leveled, the United States, the Lend-Lease program, it became the powerhouse of exports. And this is what put America on the map for all of the great commerce that we had.
Well, the B-17s, we were spending big money. The WPA budget was being spent on salaries of workmen building up our B-17s.
I got a break coming up here, Richard. Yeah, my music's playing, so I got a break coming up here. But I'll go ahead and let you go here. But I do appreciate your input there about the airplanes here, okay? All right, we'll be right back. James will pick up after the break here.
I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The scene was a small roadside cafe. The waitress was sweeping the floor. Two truck drivers drinking their coffee. And two Okie kids by the door. How much are them candies, they asked her. How much have you got, she replied. We've only a penny between us. Them's two for a penny, she lied.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Keith Rogers here on Perception Management. And I'll pick up James here in Kansas here. But I want to say this here real fast. I was, I'm into history and stuff because I missed out a lot of that on school and everything like that. But five mini subs of Japan was allegedly taken into custody, I guess you call it. Shouldn't get blown up every. But there was a documentary on Hulu where it talked about a Japanese mini sub that had, and this was an underwater skirmish type thing there, not skirmish, but. Documentary of this mini sub, which had a 10-inch hole through its conning tower, and they specifically said this sub was sunk an hour before Pearl Harbor. So America did the first shot on that. Anyway, James in Kansas. Good evening. Sorry to have you on hold for so long.
Yeah, it's been good. I wrote three books, each one of them called The Riddling Elite. I think it's the second one, copyrighted 2014's Death, Destruction, and Domination. You need to read about page 58 to about 64, and you will know more about the origins of World War II than most other sources would ever tell you in six pages.
And yeah, you know,
I don't talk about this more, I don't know.
Yeah, I've caught some of her shows on the archives there that are on the archive.org there, and she has some darn good shows, I will admit that.
Right, they had a banking system in Germany that was putting people to work and that caused inflation.
And Germany had a
Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, Germany had a banking system which allowed the Jews to transfer their funds through the Havara Agreement to Palestine. I mean, the whole thing it was a sham there, and the more you look at it, the more you realize that the whole system's rigged.
No kidding.
What bothers me, James, is we're talking about people's children here that are dying for other people in wars that are based on total lies.
Right.
You know,
the Americans seem to love us, though. They used to fall for it year after year.
Yeah, just wave a flag, you know.
Right. You know. When fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag, wherever, and carrying a cross.
Yeah, Naomi Klein has a video out on that, James. It's a warning about Trump, and if you listen to her, you'll see exactly everything that's fallen into piece right now with exactly what you said.
Okay.
All right, my best to you there, okay? Thanks for calling in.
Goodbye.
Yeah, Carlton, welcome. How are you doing here in Montana tonight?
Yes, Keith, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging there, just doing a painkiller.
You're in Troy. Speaking of the Vietnam War, I'm a veteran, and I've talked to other veterans, and when the Vietnam War started, not only the genocide was done with that country, but as well as a lot of black guys from the South were put on the front lines with no...
Exactly.
No war, or... Yeah, and with no defense, and they were put on the front lines, and there was just as much genocide done. I don't know how much, but with our own people besides Vietnam.
Right, you know, it's when Pastor Wright came out with that goddamn America video, the news made it look like it was racist there. But if you listen to the full video, you'll understand exactly how, like with the CIA's John Stockwell, where he says upwards of 6 million people were killed in over 3,000 different covert actions by the CIA alone in wars on the Third World. And as you mentioned, this wasn't just blacks. It was Asians, Latinos, and stuff. It's like America, and I hate to say this, but America's ruling elite don't give a damn about anyone of color. And this is where George Carlin comes out with that video, says, "We like war, killing brown people," you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're really, there's certain, you know, same thing with, like, AIDS was man-made as well. And, the same thing with right now up here in Northwest Montana with this deer disease, which is
more. Has it hit Montana here now?
There's rumors here up in the Libby area. There's a sign on the highway not to remove carcasses, but I'm sure that's a man-made disease like AIDS, you know, to cleanse.
Carlton, when I was hunting back in Plains and stuff in the 80s and early 90s and stuff, I don't remember if you've been around here that long, but the game checkpoints, that's when they changed the law that you had to leave the genitals on the deer. And that was because the deer, a guy would go out and he'd shoot a buck like that, and he'd get there to dress it out and find out it wasn't a buck, but it was a doe. And what was figured was the genetics, where they were eating this GMO grain as they'd come down in the fields at night and go back in the mountains in the daytime, you know. And it was genetically changing them, you know. So when you had to verify the sex of the deer, even if the deer had horns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you couldn't cut the genitals off.
Oh, wow, really? Huh.
I used to be a pretty avid hunter with my Indian friends around here, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I got another caller on here, so you got anything else here, Carlton?
No, sir.
Okay, well, you have a good one up there in Troy, okay, and I'm always glad to hear from you, okay?
Yeah, one of these days I got to get your call numbers from your repeater.
We got a bunch of work coming up here pretty soon, too, because the Forest Service wants us out of the building. They got the new building up. They're going to be putting power into the new building this week sometime. And then we got to move all those antennas and stuff over there to new tower and stuff. So that's going to be a job, especially the way I'm all stowed up like that. So I got a couple of hams I think are going to help me there. But anyway, you take care, Carlton. We'll talk later on that, okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right, my best to you. Good evening, Ed over in Utah. How are you doing this evening?
Not too bad, sir. Very interesting show. Quite an overview. I just want to throw a couple logs on the fire myself here. You know, the late Michael Collins Piper, great author that he was, he had comments on just about everything in society and the American experience and what have you. One of the things he said as an overview statement about Vietnam, where he lost his brother there. His brother didn't die in service over there, but died later in a related matter. He said that Vietnam was the largest covert drug operation ever mm-hmm. conducted under military cover.
Right now with this deal with Hong Kong, I guess the people of Hong Kong don't remember the Indochina Wars that are less than 100 years ago, which was what built America, this railroad system, everything like that, to the Forbes and the Roosevelt family, everything.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I call tonight as far as making these tie-ins. As Michael Piper always put it in his several books, he's the man who cracked, at long last, the John F. Kennedy case. In his great book, Final Judgment, where he ties in so much of this together with the CIA. But my statement tonight is to tie in, you have Vietnam, you have the USS Liberty, all for the people that pretend to be God's chosen, that's my view, the people out of Israel. When you look at Meyer Lansky, who did go along with Vietnam, the big mobster in his money laundering operation known as Las Vegas, and he did go along with it for the drug portion of it. So the mob was in behind politicians getting involved in Vietnam in a big way. After all, they owned Lock, Stock, and Barrel, their little Texas friend, as Golda Meir called him, Johnson. And so my overview, Keith, on all of this is that here you have a young Robert Mueller back then very much getting his feet wet into law and to become the great fixer for the deep state. That he is today.
And William Barr is that today.
Well, that's right. Now, Mueller, of course, is playing a role. But Barr, yes, you're right. He was in that underground bunker, as CIA operative Terry Reid pointed out in his book, Compromise, Clinton, Bush, and the CIA, that William Barr was in that bunker in North Little Rock when they had a little bit of a verbal fist fight between the Clinton people and the Bush people. Well, George Bush, the elder, was too smart to show up in the flesh, so he sends his lackey. That lackey at the time was, as you say, William Barr. Bill Clinton showed up there.
Yeah, well, remember, let's go one step further. Donald Trump is the one that was buying the ammo for the Contras.
Well, about Donald Trump, my view might be different than yours. I'm not one of them that's like holding out for whatever. I'm just seeing what's happening. And I have to take a step back, Keith, and ask, would Harvey Weinstein, would Epstein, would these indictments, the drug companies are under siege right now, for the first time in my lifetime, would this be happening had Ted Cruz or Hillary or any of the other
office. You're right there. What gets me about this is if you look at it, Johnson & Johnson, the Sackler and the Prudhoe families, they're all Jewish. And these are the ones that created the opiate crisis. The Prudhoe family alone, 400,000 deaths from 1999 to 2017. And you would think of the bills behind that of opiate addictions, the funerals, what it's cost Americans, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. And you look at, you know, we haven't even touched tonight too much on the USS Liberty. But the tie that binds to me when you have the same cast of characters, Keith, that killed our president and then tried to sink the USS Liberty, these are the same people. Robert Mueller, his wife is Standish, Ann Standish Cabell. Her uncle, Earl Cabell, was the deputy director under Ellen Dulles of the CIA, and her other uncle, Earl's brother, Charles, he was the mayor of Dallas when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. That cannot be a coincidence.
And no, I have a file. Ed, I have a file that was sent from George Herbert Walker Bush naming a different person for a man of a suspect that was headed to Texas that had been linked to so-called the shooting of the probable shooting of JFK, and that name is in bold letters on the FBI release form. And I'm wondering why wasn't I never heard of that name before?
Well, that is interesting. I just want to ask you, Keith, did you ever read Final Judgment by Michael Collins Piper?
No.
You are aware of the book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. You see, people need to know this. Michael Collins Piper wrote all of his career for the American Free Press newspaper. And it's very noteworthy that John Wayne, before he died, was a contributor and a subscriber to the American Free Press, then known as the Spotlight. And he took some heat for it, not a lot, because he was John Wayne. And that was a great thing that he did. But they exposed the USS Liberty. They exposed, in the early 80s, the Promise software scandal that the Israelis and our CIA is using today to spy on us. Look at all the blackmailing operations done by Epstein to keep maybe some of American politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ed, you're right on topic there. I mean, I have I lay here at night and I go through the old FBI files, and it's odd to find out that Penthouse was actually a CIA front, and Penthouse was in communications with the FBI about Oliver Stone's research into the JFK.
Yes,
they talk at length back and forth between interviews that apparently the Penthouse magazine had been doing with Oliver Stone, and the FBI was being mailed directly from the Penthouse what was going to be said, everything like that, and it's like it's a big diversionary, you know?
Yeah, and you got to keep in mind, when you look at his movie, Keith, you go by the executive producer, and that was Aaron Milken, the Israeli arms dealer. And he was right on the... I appreciate Oliver Stone for standing up to Milken. He said, I'm going to withdraw from the project here if you don't quit messing with me. Milken tried to block him from having Colonel Fletcher Prouty on the set. And Oliver Stone said the deal's off then. And they don't want... Fletcher Prouty knows a lot of this stuff. But I think you would find... I'd like to get your feedback if you get a chance to read Final Judgment. After all, the great Mark Lane, the big attorney that was groundbreaking with his book Rush to Judgment and Plausible Denial, he said Michael Piper has pinned the tail on the donkey. And
I was going to say, Ed, I'm going to run out of time here because I still got a bunch of stuff
thank
to
you
read
for
here.
All the time.
I was going to say this before you leave there. You know, when I started looking at the inventor of green screen and who worked with, what's his name, Stanley Kubrick, they all had their degrees and stuff, which at the same time was this moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
And the degree of what NASA was using as far as green screen work, and it does lead more credence to the fact that if they ever went to the moon, why haven't they gone back?
Yes, yeah, there's a lot of questions there, and I'm, you know, I know some people might chide for this. After all, the Collier brothers who broke the vote scam with their book called Vote Scam, they actually did a video, James Collier did, on Is It Only a Paper Moon? And he questioned the whole thing about NASA. And NASA, of course, was funding a lot of that, the MK-Ultra mind control programs and other skullduggery. So, yeah.
All right, well, sounds good, Ed. I've got to let you go here.
Yeah, just to keep in mind, 8 months after John F. Kennedy was killed, the Chinese tested the bomb. Now, again, how can that be coincidental?
You got it made. All right, take care, Ed. We'll be right back. And, John, I'll pick you up here after the break here, okay, down in California there. Stay tuned.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Me through. Been busted for things that I did and I didn't do.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management here with Keith Rogers in Western Montana here. Before I pick up John in California, I just want to say this. Going back to the archives, it's estimated that between 241,000 and 900,000 people died just in the fire bombings alone in Japan. Then you can add the two atomic bomb blasts and the deaths caused from that. And there's a moral to this story here, because this was also being done in Germany, this unbridled rage that we have today, like was in Iraq, the U.S. sanctions that they're piling on with Iran. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show here, the constant hype about Iran, Iran, Iran. And this is where all these 98% of the U.S. soldiers who are now prescribed SSRIs documented the amount of active duty, Air Force, Marines, Special Ops committing suicide, even recruiters are committing suicide, and then the 8,000 veterans a year that are committing suicide, and then those that have been killed by the VA. This is your boys, your grandsons, sons, They're expendables, as Henry Kissinger said. John in California, good evening.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I'm 71. As a young boy, I used to hear my dad talk about the New World Order, and I often wondered what that was and where it was. Never expected that we were it. Ended up in Vietnam, Armored Cavalry. John Abrams was my commander. His daddy was the theater commander. And I figured out that we were the New World Order. That's as far as I got. I knew we were it. And then from that point on, I was always looking. And then I heard a speech, and everybody should really listen to this speech. It's Benjamin Friedman's speech at the Willard Hotel in 1961.
Yeah, very good speech.
That is not mentioned enough about how he said that we needed to stop these people by force. He was at Yalta, too. And at the same time, he says, otherwise, your Christian boys and sons are going to be fighting Jewish wars, which that's all come to fruition. And if people will read that speech, because nobody ever really talks about it or gets people to do it. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. One other thing.
All right, I appreciate you calling in, okay?
One more thing. Yeah. Deanna had a guy, Dr. Millar, on the show talking about lithium orotate that would get these guys off the suicide watch, and it was natural lithium, and they wouldn't have to be taking these stupid meds. That's a great show. He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, I listened to a video earlier here about how they found out that fluoride would dumb people down. And this has been used on society here to keep them as slaves, basically, and by the same culprits, our enemies, as they call it, you know. Remember, when you pay your mortgage, who you're paying it to. When you're paying your car payment, who you're paying it to. This is the New World Order. And there was an imam that Patty and us was listening to, a video that was sent to us here. It's about an hour long like that. But he was describing the war on Muslims. And it's the same thing. It doesn't matter, because you can see it right now, whether on Twitter or what. There's a constant plea for white genocide and everything. We are being pitted against one another by them. So
that's why I stepped out of the financial side. I only use Bitcoin now. I quit my financial practice in 2007 and don't do anything with dollars anymore other than what I'm forced to use.
All right, sounds good. All right, John, well, I'm going to have to cut you go here because I need to run a few more things through here, okay? But I do appreciate you calling in, okay? All right, my bestie there. Anyway, what I wanted to get out tonight here is, like I did last week here with the buildup of NATO towards Russia, the U.S. pulling out of the INF Treaty, today's warfare is modern warfare. It's not your boys laying in a frozen ditch in Germany or something like that, dying or something like that. We're talking about nuclear war nowadays, and they're actually talking about using tactical nukes and stuff. And that's where you don't have to worry about your sons coming home in body bags, but they'll be picked up with spoons. So I was going to read off a list here of the equivalency. Like Yokohama, it was equivalent to 58% of Cleveland. Tokyo, 51% of New York. Toyama was 99% of Chattanooga, Tennessee. This Noyoga was 40% of the population of Los Angeles. This is an equivalent of what was destroyed there. And then I can get on to Iraq and stuff about the damage there. But anyway, thanks for joining us tonight. All those in the chat room, Kenneth in the control room, all you wonderful callers and the listeners out there. And we'll have another skit for you here next Sunday. So take care and watch out for lying politicians. Good evening from Montana. We'll be right back.
and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.